Hey, everybody. Before we get into the show, we have a major, earth-shattering, massive announcement. Nikki?
Yes, it is that time again, Pete Wright. Our monthly planning membership is open for enrollment. GPS stands for Guided Planning Sessions, if you don't know already. We've worked really hard here at Take Control ADHD to provide you with a service that not only gives you ideas and strategies on how to plan your day and your week, but it also provides time and space for you to do the work and not just by yourself, but with others who understand and support you. We meet every Monday and Thursday, and there are three different sessions for each day that you're invited to attend. We are dedicated to making this membership to be one that is transformative in the way you think about planning and taking control of your time and schedule. There are so many benefits to the GPS membership, so please be sure to visit our website at takecontroladhd.com/GPS. Enrollment is open now through May 8th. Thank you for your time and attention, and I hope to see you soon.
On with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Taking Control, the ADHD podcast on True Story FM. I'm Pete Wright, and I'm here with Nikki Kinzer.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Pete Wright.
Oh, Nikki, this one is for the two of us. Selfishly, this episode.
But opposite.
Yeah, but opposite. Yeah, for right. Sure. I'm very excited about this conversation. We're going to be talking about, you know, we've been talking about relationships on the show for the last several episodes. And we've talked about kids, parents. We just haven't yet talked about really our relationships, the relationship we're in where we have one of the partners has ADHD and the other doesn't. And I cannot think of a better individual to join us this week to help us talk about it. Before we dig in, though, let me tell you a little bit about the show. Make sure you head over to takecontroladhd.com to get to know us a little bit better. You can listen to the show right there on the website or subscribe to the mailing list, and we'll send you an email each time a new episode is released. You can connect with us on Facebook or Instagram or Pinterest at takecontroladhd and Discord. Don't forget the Discord. That's our ADHD Discord community. It is super easy to jump into the general community chat channel. It's open to everyone. Just visit takecontroladhd.com/Discord and you will be whisked over to the general invitation and login. But if you're looking for a little bit more, if this show has ever touched you and your relationship with ADHD, if you value the guests that come on and share their insights and wisdom, then head over to Patreon, patreon.com/theADHDpodcast. That is listener-supported podcasting. You are directly influencing, you are directly supporting the work of this show, the community, the folks who are working on the team to make this thing a reality. So, you know, if you're a longtime listener and you've never thought about it, maybe today's the day. You jump over to patreon.com/theADHDpodcast and learn more. Thank you for your support. Ari Tuckman is a psychologist, a certified sex therapist, an international speaker, and author of four books on ADHD. Over the last few weeks, as I said, we've been talking about relationships and how we interact with others. Well, today, we want to talk to Ari about the relationship dynamic with one ADHD partner and one non-ADHD partner. Ari, welcome back to the ADHD podcast.
It is awesome to hang out with you guys.
We're excited to have you back. At the last time you were on the show, thanks to historian and both Nikki and my manager, spiritual manager, Melissa, the last time you were on the show was in 2022. Right. A lot might have happened since 2022. Anything in your life changed? You okay?
I'm good. The only thing is I forgot to bring socks to the gym today. So I'm sort of rocking the Miami Vice look, which, you know, feels as good as it looks. So that's cool. But otherwise, I'm good.
Ari Tuckman rocking the Miami Vice look. Maybe a new perfect clip for this show. I am so excited.
We're up to a strong start, folks.
While recording. We're up to a strong start.
That's right.
Yeah. So we're talking about our listeners. Many of our listeners who have ADHD share their stories about their experiences with non-ADHD partners one way or another. As we said, both Nikki and I are in similar relationships. Mm-hmm. We relate to those relationships. Can you set the table for us? What are we looking at when we're looking at a relationship, mixed relationship
Sure.
like this?
So, you know, obviously we bring all of ourselves to our relationships. And, you know, if somebody has ADHD, it's that, you know, you bring that, but also all the rest of who you are. And that hopefully is mostly good and also sometimes is annoying and aggravating. But the challenge, I think, for any couple is how do you work well together, right? How do you work towards some common goals, not every single goal, but mostly common goals? How do you negotiate differences? How do you tolerate the parts of each other that are probably not going to change? So like this is universal, I think, for every couple. But when ADHD is in the mix, and especially if it hasn't been diagnosed and it's therefore probably not being well managed, it can really throw a monkey wrench in the things that the couple needs to do. And it can lead to certain kind of, you know, obviously every couple is different, but there's certainly some things that tend to show up. And it just changes the dynamics and the interactions between the couple in some, you know, rather common ways.
What are those ways? I'm curious. I'm curious mm-hmm. selfishly, because I know where I yep. experience it, but I want to know where other people experience it. And I do not have ADHD. My mm-hmm. partner does. Pete is coming from, he has ADHD, but his yep. partner does yep. not.
I mean, you know, the sort of simplest first level of this is if you have ADHD and you're not managing it well, you're probably going to have more trouble kind of checking the boxes on the obligations or responsibilities that you have, right? So, I mean, that's going to show up at school when you're a student. It's going to show up at work. It's going to show up in your personal life when you're single. But when it shows up in your life when you're partnered up, and especially when you have a lot of responsibilities, so you have like jobs and kids and, you know, a house to take care of, it's like, I don't know, like, let's be honest, it's really hard for the non-ADHD partner to just sort of sit there and say like, well, you know, he'll probably pay the mortgage, I guess, right? So what happens is the non-ADHD partner often then begins to take on more of that responsibility because they start getting anxious. They see the things that aren't getting done. They start having concerns about it before the person with ADHD does. And this is, you know, this is the ADHD, right? In the sense that folks with ADHD, they don't feel the future as strongly. You got to get a whole lot closer to it before you feel that pressure of the deadline and then activate upon it. The challenge is the non-ADHD partner too often gets there first, right? They hit their breaking point and they are then, in quotes, always the one who has to be responsible for everything. Then when the partner with ADHD does do some stuff, too often it feels like it's too late, not exactly what the other person wanted. They didn't do it in the best way. So then they're sort of being criticized, which can create this feeling of like, I don't know why you bother anyway. You're not going to be happy regardless. And then it's just this kind of awful, tense standoff tug of war kind of situation where neither partner is happy about it, but also nobody knows how to change it. You know, so you have these like heartfelt discussions of like, I really need you to step up because I'm so stressed out. I definitely will. I just need you to be nicer to me. Right. And they mean it. But if you're not addressing the ADHD, if you don't have the better tools and systems, you know, that you're going to get 3 days out of that before we're back to the same stuff that got us in trouble yesterday.
That's the thing that's so interesting to me about this, because the curse of intermittent reinforcement mm-hmm. for the non-ADHD partner, that there are days where I'm hitting homers all day long, and the expectation then grows that I will be consistent, and consistent is exactly the thing I'm not.
Yes.
In certain important areas in the relationship.
Yeah. Hey, remember that one time you did that? Okay, now yeah. do it forever unto eternity.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So you're doing mm-hmm. laundry all the time, every Sunday from 7 to noon and getting it all folded and put it away, right? Right? Is that what you're doing? That's not yeah. what I end up doing, right? Like, that's not what yeah. I end up doing. And on the flip side, there is this, you can look at the non-ADHD partner with sort of a savior complex, right? Like, thank goodness they're here, they take care of everything, and there's an mm-hmm. undue burden.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, we're not assigned partners. I mean, most of us, right? We pick each other for reasons, and hopefully there's mostly good reasons. But I mean, there is some complementarity, I think, often in this, in the sense that, you know, usually in these couples, at least the ones who show up in my office, the ones who are doing great and happy, they don't come and pay me. So I get a, you know, select sample. But, you know, the non-ADHD partner often is kind of good at being on top of stuff. You know, they like things kind of being done in certain ways, which is totally fine. And, you know, they feel more comfortable when things have been taken care of, because then it's off their mental radar. So, you know, like, that's the good side, right? They're good at managing responsibilities of life. But, you know, there is also something here that if you live with another person, sometimes they're going to kind of do things the way that they're going to do it, right? And that we also need to be flexible sometimes about, like, well, that's not how I would do it, or I would do it this other way, but okay, fine, I'm going to let this go. You know, and it can be hard for the non-ADHD partners sometimes to begin to let things go. Now, in their defense, kind of, Pete, as you said, if the partner with ADHD has given them 1,000 examples of it doesn't work out when they let it go, it's easy to point at that and say, of course I can't let it go. You're not going to step up. But also then it sort of shackles them to all these obligations that they kind of don't want, but they do want them done in a certain way. So, you know, it's a real dilemma for them.
Yeah, it's interesting, because one of the things that you said, which I think is really true, is they don't necessarily see it. And so see whatever's happening. So specific example is, we have two bathrooms that have paint that has just started, right, but never finished.
Look, and I think you don't need all four walls painted. Just one or two is enough. Just only turn your head one direction.
Right.
We were going for Pollock. Right?
It's like three different colors too, because we're trying to figure out like what color. So it's not even the same color. It's like three different, like, you know,
nice.
Yeah, in two different bathrooms. And we were kind of laughing about it the other day, and I didn't realize that it's been that way for 2 years.
Yeah.
And so obviously that's not just on him, because I didn't do anything about it. Like, but it's just amazing how long, like, something like that can go on, and you just stop noticing it until it's like, you know, put back into your attention. And now I want them painted.
Right.
Now it's all you can see. Right. Well, I think that's really interesting, because that relationship, again, when you talk, Ari, about how we choose our partners, right? There is a, how often does it feel like partners take on their partner's sort of behavior characteristics, right? Like, Nikki maybe on her own would not be blind to the quote accent wall, but but because, like, she loves her husband and they have a great relationship, like, does that happen? I mean, is that a thing that's, as she's talking about it, I'm thinking of examples in my own relationship where that absolutely happens. Oh my gosh, I am a curse. I'm infectious.
Right. I mean, some of it is the kind of the idea of picking your battles, right? Which is a thing we all have to do, because we all have more ideas than time. So, you know, in terms of the bathroom, on the one hand, it might be a thing where it's like, yeah, that does kind of annoy me, but also I got other things that are more important. I'm not picking this one.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, on the other hand, it might be that you're like, you know what, enough is enough. Or, I don't know, we're having people over for Memorial Day or something, and I just need these done. So it's easy in that kind of a situation, especially if you're feeling kind of really kind of burned out and frustrated and resentful and disconnected, to then, which I don't, it sounds like you're not, so that's awesome for you guys. But if you were, right, often by the time they show up in my office, where it's easy to just like come at him and just be like, here it is yet again, you're failing me, you don't do this stuff, I don't know why I trust you, you say you're going to do stuff and you don't, and just sort of like hammering at him. And then, of course, predictably, he's going to go into, you know, I don't have time, I can't do it, I'm doing all this other stuff, you know, you're asking me to do this and that, and like, I do my best and it's never good and right. And it's completely unsatisfying. It just, both people feel worse. So you know, it might then be a situation, you know, where Nick, for the person Nikki in your shoes to first say, like, is this important enough to me that I want to make a thing of it? And sometimes the answer is no, right? As we said, but let's say the answer is yes, like it is, this is important to me, to then have a really direct conversation about it and say, like, this is making me nuts. I would really, really appreciate it if you could finish it. What do we need to do to make that happen? Meaning, let's actually think about a time that it could happen. Let's actually think about what else needs to happen to clear that time, right? So if you say, I'll do it this weekend. Well, okay, do you have any idea what's actually already on the schedule this weekend? Oh, wait, the kids have a soccer tournament all day Saturday and Sunday. No, you're not doing it this weekend. Or, you know, can you set boundaries, you know, with family and friends and work and say, like, look, Saturday, I can't do anything. Sorry, I need to, you know, I got to do this thing with the bathroom, you know, so like, can they hold those boundaries? Can they, I don't know, go to bed early enough Friday night so they get up early enough Saturday? Do they have any idea where the paintbrushes are? Do they have the right paint? Do they know what the right paint is? You know, have they done the prep that needs to dry before you can put paint? Like, you know, it's all of these things, but to actually really have that conversation and to really figure out, yes, I can do this, and here are the steps I'm going to take to make it happen. Or, honey, no, I can't. Like, I just, like, this, I'm sorry, this is not meant to be. Or I just don't want to. I would rather do this other thing. So let's have a discussion about what we're doing here. But that's a much more direct, honest, you know, sort of well-informed conversation rather than just harping or saying yes with no thought and then predictably it doesn't work out.
Work, because I think what you're saying too is that's giving the other spouse an understanding of ADHD, right? Because what you just explained is what I would coach with someone, right? Like, okay, if you're going to paint this weekend, let's figure out what are all the steps to paint, right? So we have this understanding of the executive functions are not working. So we want to help them figure that out. And I find with my partner, my husband, if I tell him what I want, he'll do it. I just can't pretend. Like, I cannot expect him to know.
Yes.
I do need to tell him.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
Yes. He cannot read my mind. So right. I have to be very specific. And if I'm very specific, it will get done. So I like what you're saying, because it's really a matter of understanding how the ADHD is affecting this person and then what we need to do to be clear to get it done. Because they don't, you know, unless they don't want to do it for some reason.
But there's always a, like, let's throw money at the problem. Like, painting a small bathroom is something that we could take care of, and I also don't have to do it. I think the challenge, and I'm going to put myself in your husband's shoes, because I know for a while he worked his way, I guess, through college or something as a painter, right?
Yeah, he's a really good painter.
Knows how to paint.
He could do it in an hour.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, if I were in his shoes and happened to have that skill, so let's just be in a fantasy world right now together, and it had grown invisible to me because I prioritized other things, and you hadn't said anything specific. So all these things are happening, and then you come to me and say, "Hey, you know, we should really wrap up that bathroom. Do you want to just hire somebody to do it?" I would feel like you dropped a lead anvil on my chest, because I would suddenly, the months or years of rejection of forgetting to do it would crash into me like a wave of rejection. And that's all I would be able to experience at that moment. All at once, that earned interest on 2 years of forgetting gets paid back in my own interpretation of rejection. Am I alone?
I think that totally makes sense. And I think that that is then really important for you to recognize, this is mine. She's not making me feel guilty. I feel guilty from within myself, from the recognition of what I haven't done before now. Right. So then your job is to sort of manage that. And then, I mean, this is all easy to say, right? And this doesn't happen in a moment, but it's to manage that and then have a conversation about, like, are we going to hire someone? Am I doing it? You know, am I just going to cut on this one and say, like, just hire someone? Like, I'm just done with this. But that's where it gets really kind of muddy and tangled, And I think particularly in this case, if, you know, Nikki, if you were just like just building resentment, right? And just more every time you went into the bathroom, it just chucked a coin on the pile of like, I'm so pissed about this. You know, at that point, you wouldn't say, honey, I know you've been so busy and I love you so much. Yeah. I really want to make your life easier. I think you should have time on the weekends to do fun things. I'm just going to hire some guy, right? Like, that's not how it's going to come out, right? No. So, you know, you're going to make it really easy for him to feel guilty about it and also maybe to blame you for being kind of, you know, a bitch about it or whatever. So, So like there is all this other stuff that gets more complicated in relationships, which is not at all unique to ADHD, but, you know, ADHD can throw some gas on that fire. But I think it's also important, you know, in a situation like this, right, maybe it is an ADHD thing, but also maybe it isn't, right? So the ways it's ADHD related is if, you know, your husband said, yes, I'll do it. And then he forgot he had other things, or he didn't check his schedule, or he got distracted, or he mismanaged his time, or he procrastinated, or he forgot to check if he had the right paint and the right amount, right? Like that would be ADHD reasons why he didn't get it done. But there are other reasons, like just, I don't know, having a different, you know, sort of priority of saying like, I'm not actually that interested in doing the bathroom. I mean, I know like, yeah, it looks ridiculous, but seriously, there's other things I would rather do. That's not ADHD. Or if you say, I really want you to do the bathroom. And he's like, I do not want to do the bathroom, but also I don't really want to have a fight with you right now about it. So I'm going to go, okay, I guess. Right. And then lo and behold, on Saturday morning, you know, the fight comes with interest. So like that's a conflict avoidance problem. That's a negotiation problem. Or if you say, I want you to do, and he's like, and then you like, you know, rear up and clearly you're like, you know, like fire in your eyes. Right. And he's like, oh, man, I'm not touching this one. Right. Again, like that's a negotiation problem. That's not an ADHD problem. So, you know, I think it's important to know what is going on because that's going to direct you towards what you do with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So what's so interesting, I mean, obviously so much of this is the you know, learning to communicate as a couple. Some of what I value in my relationship is, and I say this with a well-earned spirit of entitlement on myself, is that my wife took it upon herself to understand ADHD and my relationship with it. And as a result, I don't feel like it's an undue burden for the two of us to have a conversation in which she is catering both to our relationship needs, but also to my ADHD. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, again, all the way back to, you know, we choose each other. Mm-hmm. How much of this, and I don't want to call it a burden, maybe a responsibility, maybe an honor, is it? Does it fall on the non-ADHD spouse to really learn what is ADHD and what is relationship stuff? Because we need to communicate about both of those things in potentially different ways.
Sure. So I think it's an awesome question. And here's my answer to it. If it feels like she's working harder at it than you are, then that's a setup for trouble. Then she will appropriately get resentful at some point. On the other hand, when it comes to some of this stuff, if she is happier with the outcome, right? So if she says, you know, if you guys are talking about it and she's like, you know what, grab your phone, look at your calendar, let's see what you got. Or wait a second, what's up with the soccer schedule? You know, can you look that up before we agree? Like, can you just take a look at that? Oh, we are doing this? Okay, here, put this into your calendar or write down a list. Like, we need rollers and we need some spackles. So like, you know, write that down. When are you going to get to Home Depot to get it? Right? That's not her being your mom. That's her setting up her own happiness, right? She is more likely to get what she wants. And the relatively little effort of having this part of the conversation has big payoffs in terms of a bathroom that's actually painted by Sunday night. So, you know,
like, and thereby setting up my happiness too, right?
Yes.
Because I will have a feeling of accomplishment and she will have helped ease me into a project in a way that my brain doesn't naturally do.
Yeah. And your job is to not be a surly oppositional teenager and being like, I don't need you to. It's like, no, dude, you do. Like, shut up. You do. Yeah. Don't be a jerk. Now, granted, if you feel like she's being a bit too much, then like you should be like, honey, like, seriously, I got this. But, you know, like, so both people got their part, right? Like, we both got to do our part. And I kind of say, like, you can't expect your partner to behave better than you do.
So when that resentment starts to build and they're in your office, what kind of advice do you give this couple? Like, how do they work through this? When, especially when they have such strong feelings, right? I mean, assuming by the time they're in your office, they're pretty upset.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a long history of hurt there. So I'm going to take a line from a couples therapy trainer who's just an absolute master named Ellen Bader. And she talks about making a clean request. So a clean request is, first of all, specific about what you're asking. So in other words, not, I need you to do more around here. I guess, is that, am I dusting the baseboards? Am I loading the dishwasher? Like, what are we doing? Right. So specific in what you're asking, it stays on only one topic, you know, cause if you cross three or four topics, you're like, you're not going to address them all. And it doesn't get into sort of like tone or justification, right? Because the problem is if you throw a bunch of attitude, you're a lot less like, you're a lot more likely to get your partner defensive and argumentative and a lot less likely to actually be heard. And it just gives your partner too many other things to kind of debate and argue. So, you know, really being specific about, you know, like, I really, you know, I would like the bathroom painted. It really makes me crazy to see it half done. I feel like I've way too many half done things in my life. Like, I need to get it off of my list. Maybe you don't see it and that's fine, but like, I see it. Like, every time I go in there, it makes me a little bit crazy. And I just need to feel like I have a little bit more order in my life and I don't have 4,000 open projects in my mind. Right. Like, so explaining why it's important, talking about yourself, right? Like, this is what it does for me. Not saying you're so irresponsible. You don't care. You don't do these things. I'm always the one. Right. Because now you've changed the subject. Right. We're not talking about the bathroom. Now we're talking about your partner, whether he's a jerk or not.
When we're talking about, you know, skills, right. About skills to figure out, like, I'm in a state of duress, not knowing how my level of communication has veered off track with this person that, you know, doesn't seem to understand my ADHD anymore. What does it take to close that gap, to bridge that gap between us again? They're sitting on your couch.
Yeah. You know, so the other side of that, you know, clean request would be then, you know, for the receiving person to kind of hear it well, you know, which kind of Pete, back to, you know, what you were saying, all that other stuff that came up, right? For you to kind of like keep your head on with that. And it might mean to say, I need a minute here, rather than acting, you know, talking out in anger and frustration, defensiveness. But I think that in general, especially when people are kind of new to the diagnosis, it really does come as a relief of like, you know, I'm not a terrible person. You're not a terrible person. It's that we didn't know about this ADHD thing. And it's really made a mess for us. You know, we both tried, but not in the right ways. And more importantly, now there's some hope for a better future. You know, now that we know this, we can address it more directly. We can do some things about it. You know, we can find better ways to work together towards some, you know, common goals. So, you know, I think there is a lot of hope in a new diagnosis of ADHD, whether it's about an adult or, you know, a child, like it can really change the dynamic. And, you know, I sort of have this line where I say, you know, it is a lot to ask your partner to take medication for ADHD or whatever, but let's say ADHD, right? That is a lot to ask of someone. But I think equally, it's a lot to ask of someone to sort of overlook or compensate for the symptoms of ADHD that you're not treating, you know? So, like, that's also a lot to ask. Like, this is what makes relationships hard, is we get stuck with these kind of thorny questions that don't have obvious answers.
Okay, so I'm going to throw another question that doesn't have an obvious answer, but I'm sure you've seen it in your work.
This is a setup, Ari. Run away.
Run away.
I can take it. We're on the same team. It's going to be fine.
When we were talking about parenting ADHD children, like, I have a daughter who has ADHD as well, and I was saying I'm biased because I have the knowledge of ADHD. I understand it. I work with people. I want to help people. So I'm very empathetic to her and to my husband. So they're very lucky to have me. I'm just going to say that.
I know. Yeah, thank you so much. Sure. Every day should be Mother's Day in your house.
Exactly. But let's say I didn't have that experience and you have, well, actually take me out of it. You have a couple that is in your office and the non-ADHD partner is just not willing to understand ADHD. Yeah. They don't want to look at the books. They don't want to listen to the podcast that I've been, you know, been asked to listen to. Like, they just don't care. Or maybe they care, but they don't. You know what I mean? Like, how do you work with that?
Yeah. And I would actually say, I don't know if it's necessarily that they don't care so much as they don't get it. They don't understand, right? That. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I always sort of, one of the points I always sort of hammer on is if you're asking your partner or someone to read or listen or some to educate themselves about ADHD somehow, they are not doing that as a favor to you, the person with ADHD, right? And that often in these cases, the non-ADHD partner feels kind of burned out, overburdened. I've already done too much. I don't have it to give. Like, you need to go figure out this ADHD thing and then let me know how it goes. So, you know, the sales pitch here is you, non-ADHD partner, you learning about this is going to make your life better, right? It's going to change how you understand your partner. It's going to change the strategies you use and, you know, how you sort of resolve your differences. So you will get more of what you want. It's not going to be everything. It's not going to change your partner into someone they're not, but you are going to be much happier as a result of this. So like, that is the sales pitch. You don't have to do anything. Like, you have zero obligation to learn anything about ADHD or change one lick of what you do. But if you do nothing, you are then accepting the fact you're removing 50% of the power to make things better in this relationship, right? That you're basically saying, yeah, I'm a bystander on the sidelines to this. My partner needs to do all the work. And then I'm going to really cross my fingers and hope that they do it. That's the deal, right? And that's the deal for every relationship, is nothing happens in a vacuum, right? Again, you cannot expect your partner to behave better than you do. And if you just sort of sit on the sidelines and hope that they're going to do it and keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it, I mean, they might, but I think it's a lot less likely to go as far as you would hope it to.
I've got a question about language, because you said earlier something that's obviously really important is keeping the statements about us, right? I am experiencing the bathroom in such a way that I could use some help figuring it out, right? Mm-hmm. Like, keeping the statements about me. But for those of us with ADHD who struggle with social cues and struggle with, like, language cues, those are really, those sorts of statements are very positive. Do you have any statements that are particularly triggering in relationships that potentially you may not even know you're using?
Yeah, I think just in general, any time that you're kind of telling your partner about who they are, you know, that is really likely to evoke defensiveness, right? Unless you're having, like, really good conversation, and I have faith that you're saying it kind of like with good intent, if you know what I mean. But, you know, so things like, you know, if, you know, your wife was like, you just don't care about our house, that's why you haven't paid, or you don't care that I'm unhappy, right? Like,
you know, when the world goes second person, right? Like, that's a problem,
right? As opposed to, you know, it seems like you don't notice that it's not, or I don't know, it seems to me like it doesn't really bother you. And you might say, like, yeah, truthfully, I I have no idea. Sitting here right now, I have no idea what color paint is on any of the walls in the bathroom. And right. I can live a good life like that, right? Or maybe it's like, no, honestly, it bugs the hell out of me. Like, seriously, every time I walk past it, it makes me feel a little bit awful, right? Like, I don't know what's going on, but, you know, let's actually ask questions rather than make statements about things like that, so that you better understand. And if the answer is, I feel awful about it, then maybe the response is, good, we're on the same team, let's do something about it. If the answer is, honestly, I don't care, like, it's fine. Okay, that's cool that, like, you don't have to feel bad about it, but I feel bad about it. And since we're good teammates and we're generous to each other, I'm going to ask you to do something helpful to me on this, even if you don't care about it.
Yeah.
Ask questions instead of statements. That's huge.
Yes.
I think that's a really important key takeaway, you know, because as soon as you start asking the questions, you're starting to get more information and it's a lot less defensive at that point.
Well, yeah. And when I'm compromised, my ADHD exerts itself in statements.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot less filter and perspective and distance, which is true for all of us when we're tired, when we're revved up, when we're like, you know, just kind of spent for the day, right? There's just less filter.
Yeah, for sure.
Somebody's
struggling in their relationship. How do they know it's time to seek your help?
I think if you keep having all the same fights, you know, like, you've done what you can do in terms of, you know, educating yourself about ADHD and about relationships, and you've really thought about, like, what is my part and what do I need to do different? What can I do different? What are the things that are kind of hard stops for me that, like, I will not do this different? You know, you've done your best to have some better conversations about it. And, you know, hopefully there's some progress, right? Things do get better in some ways. But you're just sort of stuck, right? And you're not getting to a point that you would like it to be. But, you know, what I would really tell you is, if you're going to go and do couples therapy, a good couples therapist is going to challenge both of you. You know, we always have a secret agenda when we go to couples therapy that, you know, the couples therapist is going to turn to our partner and say, you're screwing it all up. This is all on you. Come on, man. Step up.
They're going to be on my side.
Right,
yeah.
Right. I'm just going to make my case, and boy, are they going to see it my way. And that is not what happens. So even if the partner with ADHD is clearly, like, making a mess all over the place, it's still only half the relationship. So, you know, if you're going to go to couples therapy, do it with the expectation that you are going to have to do half the work. Also, your partner is going to have to do half the work. If your partner won't go, which sometimes they won't, then you go by yourself. But rather than just complaining about your partner and getting a lot of, like, wow, that's awful, you know, what is my part? What am I contributing? What can I do different? You know, how do I act with integrity here? You know, and don't just slip into the complaining, because that might sort of feel good in the moment, but it doesn't change anything.
That's funny. Well, the whole act of going to therapy and saying, I'm here to bear witness to you fixing my partner.
Yes. Yes. Everybody loves that. It's such a great fantasy, you know.
I'd like to buy tickets.
Yes, exactly.
And then your spouse walks away like, I know, it's all me.
Yeah. Now I'm fixed. Okay, but, and then you're left sitting alone in the therapist's office. That's really the sign.
Yeah.
Right. You didn't do the work.
But one thing I do want to say, because, you know, I know our conversation is really leaning more like, okay, the ADHD spouse has more problems than the non-ADHD spouse. And that's not true, right? Like, I think it's just, it's so half and half, because I know I've made a lot of mistakes, and my husband would probably tell you there's just as much that bugs him about me that he, you know, that I get bugged by him. And, but I think that one of the things that we did when we first got married and we're really good at is we don't fight nasty.
Yes.
We fight very, I mean, you know, I don't call him names. He's never called me a name. We don't like attack each other. And so when these things happen, like I made a huge financial mistake a couple of years ago and got audited and found out that I made this huge mistake and owed a lot of money. But he didn't make me feel bad about it. You know, and he could have easily said, I can't believe you did this. How did you not see this? How did you, you know, how did the accountant not see this? So then he kind of put his attention to the accountant, you know, all of this stuff. But it was, I mean, it's very telling because it's like he gave me just as much grace than, you know, that I give to him because a lot of the stuff doesn't bother me. But I think that fighting is, it's really important how you argue with your spouse. I mean, do you find that? I mean,
no, it's absolutely true. Like that is 100% of it because you will absolutely have disagreements, right? Two people do not want all the same things in all the same ways at all the same time. So absolutely, you're going to have disagreements and disappointments and discontents and all the rest. So you have to be able to handle it in a way that doesn't cause more damage than the topic itself, you know, by being demeaning or dismissive, right? It really, like, whatever the initial problem is nothing compared to the damage done in the way the argument happened, or alternatively, being conflict avoidant and not dealing with anything. And then there's just this simmering tension of all the unspoken, right? So that's the other end of things that isn't helpful. It's kind of finding that place in the middle. And, you know, to the first thing you said, right, it's really easy for the partner with ADHD to sort of volunteer to be the designated problem in the relationship, right? I wouldn't be so whatever if you weren't so much like this, right? I wouldn't be so angry and controlling or critical if you just did the things that, you know, you're supposed to do. So, like, that's easy to see it and to paint it that way, but it's not the truth of it. But it's also, this is why it's important that couples therapists know about ADHD so they don't fall into that same mindset where they're like, dude, man, this guy's got to step up, or like, wow, she's such a mess that, you know, their partner really is the sort of long-suffering spouse here. So, you know, part of my shtick of these last, you know, 5 to 10 years has been trying to get more ADHD folks to know about couples therapy, more couples therapists to know about ADHD, because it's still just good couples therapy. But if you don't know ADHD well, and you don't know good ways of addressing it, like, you're not going to be you're not going to be able to help this couple get out of the same ruts that they keep falling into, and to not sort of paint the partner with ADHD as the sort of problem to be fixed and ignore the other half of the equation.
Yeah,
there's a certain responsibility to sustainability of the therapy, right? I feel like you're missing so many cues if you're not aware of this dynamic, ADHD dynamic.
Yep, absolutely.
This was great.
As usual, you're brilliant. Thanks for hanging out with us today.
This is awesome. I was really glad to be able to do this. I always like hanging out with you guys.
Where do you want to...
I like hanging out with you.
Yeah, for sure. I wish that we could do these live. Where do you want to send people right now to look at, to find out more about your work, your books, et cetera? What's your pitch?
Sure. So adultadhdbook.com. I've got information about my books. I've got samples of, you know, presentations I've done, or, you know, recordings or whatever. So, and when I actually get around to updating it, you'll also see what I have coming up down the road. So that's the place.
It's all the same bucket of time, right? Yep, all the same bucket of time.
I can't both do things and post them. Pick one.
right. The great paradox of the Anthropocene era. Yeah, here we are. Exactly. Well, thank you again. Go check out Ari's work. Never a waste of time. And you know, to everybody listening, we appreciate you downloading and listening to this show. Thank you for your time and attention. Don't forget, if you have something to contribute to the conversation, we're heading over to the Show Talk channel on our Discord server, and you can join us right there by becoming a supporter at the deluxe level or better. On behalf of Ari Tuchman and Nikki Kinzer, I'm Pete Wright, and we'll see you right back here next week on Taking Control, the ADHD podcast.